All right, so we are holding on Nun Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of what we're allowed to let animals wear outside on Shabbos and whatnot. The first Mishnah talks about things that you're putting on the animal in order to control it, keep it from running away or whatever, and now we're going to be talking about things that you put on it for other reasons. The Mishnah says, Hamu yotze b'margas. A donkey is allowed to go out on Shabbos with a margas, which is like a saddle blanket. Yeah, the normal way was that you put the blanket directly on the donkey's back. As I was going to say later, donkeys get cold very easily. And then on top of that, if you're going to put a saddle, then you put the saddle on top of that. You're allowed to have it go out using your... there we go. Morning, Avraham Moshe. I guess you're having a technical difficulty. I tried.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Okay. All right. So we just got started now. So okay. So the days on the days at the bottom by the Mishnah. We said that a chamo yotze b'margas, a donkey is allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing a saddle blanket, which is normally you usually put the blanket under the saddle if there is one, but also sometimes a donkey wears the blanket by itself because, as I was going to say later, donkeys get cold very easily. That's provided that the blanket is tied to the donkey. We'll see in the Gemara what that point means. Zechorim yotzin levuvim, rams, zechorim literally means males, but in Mishnah and Gemara terminology, a lot of times it means rams. In fact, you have, for example, in Targum Onkelos, the regular translation of Elim, which are rams, the regular Aramaic translation of it is Dichrim, which is the same as the word Tzchorim. Anyway, so they're allowed to go out on Shabbos, Yotzim Levuvin. They're allowed to go out on Shabbos Levuvin. What Levuvin is, we're going to see eventually in the Gemara at the bottom of Nun Gimel on the day. There's several different possibilities what it is. Recheilos, ewes, female sheep, Yotzis Shkuzos, Kvulos, or Kvunos. They're allowed to go out on Shabbos Shchuzos and Kvulos, which the Gemara there is going to say is different things that you do with the tail of the animal, and Kvunos, which is where you put where you cover the entire animal with a sheet or something, you wrap it in a sheet, and it goes out that way, and that way its wool stays very clean. So any of those things, you're allowed to have the animal go out that way on Shabbos, because again, as we said before, the general rule is things that are needed for your among other things, one way of looking at it is that all of these things are necessary for your purposes. In the case of the margas, it's for the sake of the donkey because it gets cold. But in the case, for example, of the shchuzos, kvulos, or kvunos, the first two are in order to either prevent or in order to either promote or prevent the animal from mating, which is something that you want. To have more animals, so therefore that would be mutter. And as far as the kavunos, one idea of it is it's for your sake because you want the wool to stay clean, and that would be allowed. So that actually defines it again as a takshet, as a decoration for the animal. Rav Moshe has a bit of discussion of it, of various other possibilities why it would be mutter. One of them, he said, we learned before in the first parak, that you're not allowed to wear something that's meant just to protect your clothing. For example, we talked about the question of wearing a rain hat on Shabbos, where it's only meant to protect your hat from getting wet. But Rav Moshe says, in this case, the wool is not the wool is not clothing after all. One point is the wool is attached to the animal's skin, so it's more like hair. So the same way as you're allowed to wear something over your hair to keep it from getting wet on Shabbos, the same way these animals are allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing something to keep the wool from getting dirty. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Izim yotis tsururis. Goats, female goats, are allowed to go out on Shabbos tsururis, which means with something tied over their udders. Now, there's two ways, which we're going to see at the end of the Mishnah, there's two ways that can be done, but the Tanna Kamma is saying that regardless, you're allowed to do either of those ways. One way would be you do it tightly in order to cause the animal's milk to dry up. And one is that you'd be doing it more loosely in order to, Rashi over here says that you're doing it in order to keep the milk that comes out of it as it's walking from spilling on the ground. Later on, Rashi explains it differently. Over here, Rashi uses the expression that the milk shouldn't drip out onto the ground. Later on, Rashi says it a little bit differently. That you put it on a little more loosely. Not so much in order to keep the milk from spilling out, but just in order to keep the animal's udders from getting scratched or whatever. We'll get to that later in the Gemara. Anyway, the Tanakhama allows all of them. Rabbi Yossi says all the things we listed in this Mishnah are actually osur, except for the case where you have the cloth or the sheet or whatever that you have over the that you put over the sheet to keep them to keep the wool from getting dirty, because that's something that you yourself need directly. You yourself want to keep the wool from getting dirty, so it's for your needs. But all the other ones, Rabbi Yossi says that not. Rabbi Yehuda says most of them I agree you can use, but except for the one about tying something over the udders, isn't Yosef Surus the Yabish? Goats are allowed to go out on Shabbat where you have the pouch tied tightly over the udder in order to make the milk dry up. But not where you're doing it for the sake of the milk. Sorry, I said it wrongly before. Both here and later on, Rashi says that the point of doing it loosely would be in order to collect the milk. But over here, Rashi says the Yehuda wouldn't allow it where it's loose, where you don't tie it as tightly, because it may fall off. Certain things that we have in our parrot that we're saying that animals cannot wear is not because they're not considered a tap shape or what have you for the animal, but rather because they may fall off and you may carry them. We had that yesterday, actually, in the case of a goat, where we talked about putting a halter on it, where you have to make a hole or a groove or something in its horns for the rope to fit inside, because otherwise it may fall off and you're going to end up carrying it. But by the same token over here Rashi explains that the problem with having it on not as tightly as you would to make the milk dry up is if it's a little more loose, then it may fall off, or the pouch may fall off, and you may carry it. Later on, Rashi gives a different reason, which is that the milk itself that's carrying around there is a masi, carrying the milk. We'll get into a little bit, that's the shame of it, why Rashi changes that and what Tosfos has to say about it, etc. Okay. Anyway, so now let's focus on the mardas. We said in the Mishnah that a donkey is allowed to go out on Shabbos with a mardas, with a saddle blanket. He's man shekshurloi, as long as it's tied to him. So what does that mean? That only works if the blanket was tied onto the donkey before Shabbos. Now, why does it need to be before Shabbos? Rashi says the reason is because we said that the whole concept that animals are allowed to wear things on Shabbos when they're going outdoors, when they're going to Rosh Hashanah, is because they're considered a malbush, they're considered clothing or accessories or whatever of the animal. But that's only if it's something that it normally wears. So if you have it tied on before Shabbos, then it shows that the junkie needs it. It shows that, like we said before, the junkie easily gets cold, and therefore you're allowed to wear it. But if you don't have it tied on before Shabbos, then it's considered carrying it. The one way of looking at it, in other words, is that if it's not tied before Shabbos, then you haven't shown that the junkie actually needs it, so therefore it's not considered a malbush. First, let's bring a couple of other possibilities. One is because if you tie it on Shabbos, then it looks like you're planning to, that looks like really you want to take the blanket itself from point A to point B. Or it looks like you want to take the donkey someplace further away, and that's why you're putting a blanket on it. Whereas opposed to if it's tied onto it before Shabbos, then you don't have those issues. And then another point that Rishonim bring from the Yerushalmi is that another reason is because if you're tying it onto the animal on Shabbos, when you're tying something onto an animal, it's very common that you lean on the animal. And we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta that Midrabanan, you're not allowed to lean on an animal, or you're not allowed to make use of an animal in any way on Shabbos. for four different reasons why it would have to be tied on before Shabbos.
But aren't you allowed to ride? Are you allowed to ride on top of the animal?
No. On Shabbos? No, riding on the animal is also midrash on them. The Gemara.
So the whole reason why we allow donkey to go from one place to another place on Shabbos is for what reason?
Well, I mean, the same way as any other animal that you own. It needs to take a walk. It needs to stretch its limbs. You're not doing it in order to ride it or in order to put packages on it. You're just doing that. It shouldn't be cooped up in the house all Shabbos.
Oh, okay. We learned so much about animals going, why? Carrying is not supposed to, but it's made to go that way.
It's for the sake of the animal that it should be able to. It's interesting, actually, the Sifri brings, or the Mechilta, actually, whatever, brings on a pasuk in, we have various psukim where the Torah mentions that you have to allow your animals to rest on Shabbos. And on one level, it means that you're not allowed to make them work on Shabbos. But the Mechilta also says that when it says that l'man yonuach shorcha b'chamerecha, passing in Parshas Mishpatim, it means, for example, that your animal, let's say, an animal eats grass, and very often it's going to eat grass that's attached to the ground. For a human being to do that would be also the malacha of koitzer. But the Mechilta says you don't have to prevent the animal from doing that. It's perfectly allowed to, because otherwise if you're going to keep it at home and it can't even go graze, then that's not menucha for it, that's tsar, and you can't do that. So, yeah, so the animal...
The blanket on top of the donkey, if he's in one place, it's tsar v'lechaim because it's too hot, heavy, it's like wearing a coat in your house. But when it goes outside, it is cold. So the whole reason why you're putting a blanket on Shabbos is not because of the person, it's because the animal gets cold outside when he's walking.
It may well get cold inside also. The Gemara is going to point out later that donkeys get cold even in Tkufas Tammuz. What we're doing is we're talking about taking these animals out or just allowing them to go out on their own on Shabbos in order to get out of the house and have some freedom of movement. But on the other hand, again, you have these rules about what it's allowed to wear and what it's not allowed to wear. So Shmuel is saying, for any of the four reasons that we mentioned, one reason from Rashi, two from Tosfos, and one from the Yerushalmi, that the blanket has to be tied on to it before Shabbos. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman, Masnisin Nami Deka. So Rav Nachman says, actually, you can prove that from the wording of our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said, a later Mishnah, the last Mishnah of our Perek says, Eina chamur yotzev v'adas v'zman she'eina k'shur aloi. A donkey is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a blanket when it's not tied to him. Now we have to figure, what does that mean? Heikidom. Ilema she'eina k'shur aloi klal. Does it mean that it's not tied to him at all? It's literally just sitting on his back untied? Well, of course, chitta. Obviously, he can't go out like that on Shabbos. Dilma not the love of Asri la'asriyin. That's one of the things that you wouldn't be allowed because it's liable, it's likely to fall off on Shabbos, and you're going to end up carrying it in Shoshet Rabin. Ela lav, she'enach shura me'erev Shabbos. So evidently, it has to be that we're talking about enach shura in the next mission. It doesn't mean that it's not tied on at all. It means it's not tied on before Shabbos. In other words, the next Mishnah is saying, the later Mishnah is saying that even though right now in the middle of Shabbos it is tied on, let's say a goy went and tied it on Shabbos, then it's still not allowed to. And therefore, that would mean, when our Mishnah says, Bizman Shek Shura, would mean that it's actually tied on before Shabbos. Tosfos mentioned, so in that case, why don't we say the other way around? If our Mishnah says that it's allowed kshura, then maybe it means even if it was tied on Shabbos. Tosfos says you can't do that because then what would it mean? Again, the next Mishnah would mean that it's not allowed if it's not tied on at all. Again, there's no chiddush in that. Obviously, if it's not tied on at all, then you can't. So, miklal, the resha, kshula, merav Shabbos. So, evidently, the resha, meaning on Mishnah, must mean that the blanket is tied on before Shabbos. Shmami, no, it's good. That proves what Shmuel's saying. That the only way is it's not just good enough it's tied on. It has to have been tied on before Shabbos. Tani nami hachi, we learned similarly in a braisa. Chamur Yosef Mardas is not Shekhrutal in Erev Shabbos. A donkey is allowed to go out with its Mardas, with its blanket, when it's tied to it on Erev Shabbos. And the bride to add more details. The Loiba Ukaf. On the other hand, a donkey is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a saddle on it, the actual saddle, which you use for riding on or for passages or what have you. Alpha Pisha Trudel in the Erev Shabbos, even if the saddle is tied on before Shabbos, because that's not for the purpose of warming up the animal. It does. Maybe it does a tiny little thing to continue warming up the animal, but basically a saddle is there in order to ride on or put packages on or whatever. So that wouldn't be allowed. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, actually, it is even allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing a saddle, the saddle itself. This man shekshurul in the Erev Shabbos, even if the saddle, not even, as long as the saddle is tied on the animal before Shabbos, because Reb Shimon Gamliel says, after all, the saddle does help warm up the animal a little bit, and therefore Reb Shimon Gamliel is allowing it. One thing is that from Mefoshim explained, the Tanakhama would answer to that, okay, but a saddle blanket covers a substantial part of the animal, so it does a lot to warm it up. So the saddle is much smaller, so it only helps a little bit. So you can't really say that, but I'm sure Rav Gamliel says it's allowed. Although Vad Shavar Yiksha Le Masrichon, as long as Rav Gamliel says, now what you can't do is you can't have that the saddle is tied on with a Masrichon, which is a strap that goes around the front of the animal, that goes around the chest or whatever of the animal, where the purpose of it is, let's say you have the animal is going up a hill. If you're riding on it, or if you have something on it, if you don't have that masrichon there, then the saddle is going to slide backwards. So you put a strap going around the chest of the animal, going around the front part of the animal to keep the saddle in place. So you can't have that on Shabbos because that's clearly not needed in order to warm up the animal. That's clearly in order to keep the saddle from slipping out of place. And similarly, you can't be tying a strap under the animal's tail. Same idea in reverse, where you're doing it so that when the animal is going downhill, that the saddle doesn't slide forward. Those kinds of things you can't do because those obviously you're doing only for the sake of putting the saddle on it and riding or putting packages on it. Or at least it looks like you're doing it. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says the actual saddle itself would actually be mutter as long as it was on there before Shabbos. So we see from that, anyway, that the point is the Braith had started by saying that it's allowed to go out with this Marjas as long as it was tied on before Shabbos. So there you go. That's exactly what Shmuel was saying, that only if it was tied on before Shabbos is a mutter and otherwise not. Okay. Are you allowed to just put the blanket on the donkey on Shabbos where it's not going to be going out to Rosh Hashanah with it? So again, we said if it's going to be going out into Rosh Hashanah or maybe even to Carmelist or whatever, then you're not allowed to for the various reasons that we said. Rashi's reason, because then you're not demonstrating before Shabbos that that's a malbush for the animal. Tosfos has two reasons, because it looks like you want to take the blanket itself from point A to point B, or because it looks like you want to take the donkey on a far journey. And the Yerushalmi's reason, because you're leaning on the animal while you're doing it. So none of these really apply over here. If you're just putting it on, so actually the truth is the Mefoshim discussed over here, are we talking about over here just putting it on, or are we actually talking about tying it on Shabbos? Again, we said before, according to the Yerushalmi's reason, that you can't tie it on because you're leaning on the animal, then fine, that would apply even if it's staying in the cluster. But the other reasons might not apply in this case. Now on the other hand, you could say, first of all, it might be something called considered tircha yisera. It's extra work that you're doing on behalf of the animal, which maybe is also on Shabbos. And another point is that if you're doing it in the chaser, it may go out that way to Rosh Hashanah. So this is a general question. If you're allowed to put it on the donkey on Shabbos, Amalei Mutter, Sarav Chiyah Ba'ashi tells him it's Mutter. Sort of Asi asked him in that case, what's the difference between the blanket and a saddle? You can't put a saddle on an animal, as the Gemara is going to say soon. So why should it be any different with the blanket? At this point, the Gemara doesn't know yet what we're going to say later, that a donkey gets cold very easily. So therefore, if you can't put one, why should you be allowed to put the other? Ishtik. So Rav Chiya ben Ashi was quiet, and he didn't have an answer. But the question is it that he didn't have the answer, or is it that he was saying he doesn't bother answering because what are you assuming? You're assuming for purposes of your question that you can't put the saddle on Shabbos. Who says? So maybe he didn't answer because of that. Because he's saying, well, that's a silly question. You're assuming that you can't put on a saddle, and therefore you're asking about a blanket. But who says? So is it because of that, or is it because he doesn't know the answer? So Rav Asi says, all right, well, let me at least prove that you're not allowed to put the saddle on, and once we do that, then we can ask about the blanket. So he asks on him from a braisa. If you're going to assume that you're allowed to put the saddle on the animal on Shabbos, then we have a braisa as follows. Ukaf shal gabe chamur. If you have already a saddle on, if you already have the saddle on the donkey, lo yatal talena v'yadei. You're not allowed to take off the saddle with your hands. Now what you might have is that the animal might be a little bit overheated. You might have that the animal was wearing the blanket and the saddle, and let's say, for example, it might even be you came back right before Shabbos with a load on the animal, and now the animal is a bit overheated. So you might want to take off the saddle on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take it out. You're not allowed to take it off with your hands, because either because the saddle itself is mukta, or because of tircha yaseira, because you're doing, as we're going to be discussing in our sugya over here, the various things that the chacham didn't allow you to do for an animal because they're more bother than you should be doing on Shabbos. You yourself are supposed to be resting on Shabbos. In this case, it's a tircha yaseira because it's not going to take that long for the animal to cool off. It'll, again, because as the Gemara is going to say later, donkeys cool off very easily. They get chilled very easily. So taking off the saddle is not something that's that necessary in order for the animal to cool off, and therefore just leave it on. But the braisa continues. Ela melicho. Somebody said something. Okay. Ela melicho mavia b'chotzer. But what you can do, if you want the saddle to be off the animal, you can have the animal walk back and forth in the chotzer, and then the saddle will fall off by itself. So, in other words, so we see the braisa is telling you that you're not allowed to take off the saddle. Now, sort of Asi says, Hashka lito amrit loy. So if you're telling me you're not even allowed to take off the saddle, lahaniach miboya, would it have to be said that you can't put it on? So therefore, obviously you can't put on a saddle on Shabbos. So now my question is, therefore, if you can't put on a saddle, then what's the difference between that and a blanket? That's one way of understanding his question. The other way of understanding Rav Asi's question is that we see that you're not even allowed to take off the saddle. Putting on a saddle, mela. Okay, we said at the top of the Amud that a saddle is less necessary. We said that to the Tanakama versus Rav Shimon Gamliel, we said a saddle is more of a reason to not put on Shabbos. In fact, the Tanakama has said you can't put on a saddle at all. But our braisa here is saying you can't even take off the saddle. So if you can't even take off the saddle, then why should putting a blanket be? Then why should putting a blanket on be mutter?
Taking off is easier than putting it on. Yeah.
And that's the point. According to that way of understanding, according to the Rishva's way of understanding the question is, if you're saying you can't even take off the saddle, even though taking it off is less of a tircha and whatever than putting it on, how much more why should you be allowed to put on a blanket where you have all the problems of tircha and so forth, and plus, as Tosfos said before, it looks like now you're going to be taking the blanket from point A to point B or whatever. So why should it be allowed? So that was the question. Again, the original question was whether you're allowed to. And when Rav Chiya Rashi says it's mutter, then why should it be different? If we're saying, again, according to Rashi, the question is, if you're not allowed to put on a saddle, why are you allowed to put on a blanket? And according to other Rishonim, the question is, if you're not allowed to take off a saddle, why should you be allowed to put on a blanket? Amalei Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira answers, Rav Asi, Shavtei, leave Rav Chiya Rashi alone. The reason why he says it's mutter, Kirabe Tzvirole, because he holds, like his Rebbe, which is Rav. He holds like Rav, which is the Omer of Chiva Ashi Omer Rav, Turban Traskel of Behema B'Shabbos. You are allowed to tie on a feed bag for an animal on Shabbos. Now, a feed bag is like this. You have an animal can bend its neck and its head down to the ground and graze and eat that way. But you can also have instead, for the tainug of the animal, for the animal to enjoy it, instead of doing that, you tie a feed bag around its mouth, and that way it doesn't have to reach down in order to eat. That way it can just eat directly from what's tied there. So Rav is saying you're allowed to tie that onto the animal on Shabbos. So kavachomer lamadas. So therefore we can make a kavachomer that if according to Rav, even a traskel is mutter, then surely a mardas. Then surely a mardas should be mutter as well. Madach over there was saying that mutter, you're just doing it for the animal's pleasure, so it doesn't have to bend down and eat. Here where the mardas is to keep the animal from getting cold and uncomfortable, loy kolshikin, how much more so that Rav would allow it. But there you go. So nothing to do. So in other words, fine. You had a braisa that said that you can't put off or you can't take off or whatever the saddle, and therefore you, Rav Asi, are trying to learn from that, but therefore you shouldn't be allowed to put on the blanket. Fine. Rav is a tanner, Rav Tana who Upolig, he's able to argue with braisas, and therefore no problem if the braisa contradicts him, and you can't point out to him that it doesn't fit with that braisa. That's all Rav's and Rav Chiya Ba'ashi's opinion, that you are allowed to put the mardas on the animal even on Shabbos. You're just not allowed to tie it on. And of course it would have to stay in the chotzer with that. But now Shmuel Amar mardas mutar traskel oser. On the other hand, Shmuel says that no, you would be allowed to put the blanket on the animal because that's to keep the animal from tsar. But to tie a feed bag onto the animal, that would be also, because that's not helping the animal with tsar. That's just helping it enjoy its food more. So that you can't do. Another way of looking at it again is that to put on the mardas is not really so much tircha as opposed to putting the feed bag on it is more of a tircha. All right. Anyway, so Shmuel says that difference. So the Gemara says, also Rav Chiya Bar Yosef Amr L'Shmaita D'Rav Kameh D'Shmuel. So Rav Chiya Bar Yosef went and told over what Rav had said to Shmuel, that Rav had said that you were actually allowed to put a feed bag on the animal on Shabbos. Amr Leh, sort of Shmuel says to Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, E Hochi Omar Abba, if Abba really said that, and as we learned before, Abba is either Rav's first name, so Shmuel is calling that because he's his chaver, or the other way around, that Abba means my chaver, or it means our leader, or whatever. Rashi over here translates it the second way, which is Abba means chaver, my colleague. Anyway, so if my colleague said that you're allowed to tie a traskel onto the animal on Shabbos, lo yada, but merely the Shabbos of Eloi Kulam, that he doesn't know anything about Hilchos Shabbos. Because clearly you can't do that. Now, obviously, we're not talking about where you're tying it on with a knot that would be also on Shabbos. That's a whole other matter. But what we mean is, in other words, that even if you put it with a bow knot or whatever, Shmuel is still saying, absolutely, you cannot put it on Shabbos. And anyone who says that you can is making a mistake. So we're going to continue that discussion. But usually, usually we say that in dinim of Isser and Heter, usually the halacha is like Rav. This is one of the cases. We're not actually. This is one of the cases where the halacha is like Shmuel, that you're allowed to do things to prevent sire from the animal, but not things that you're doing for the enjoyment of the animal. Tosfos points out further, because we have not only Shmuel, we have Rabbi Yochanan as on his side as well, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. He solid Rabbi Yochanan.
Which means over here, blanket, yes, but saddle, no.
So blanket, not saddle, not, because you said in the Braise, that's something else. No, blanket, yes, feed bag, no.
Oh, that's, the feed bag.
That's okay. The feed thing. Rabbi and Shmuel.
That's
are
the
not
extra. It's
saddle,
extra.
They're all talking about the feed bag. Yeah.
Okay, it's extra.
Okay. So the Gemara says, he solid Rabbi Zeira, when Rabbi Zeira went up from Israel to Babel, he found Rabbi Yamin by Yefes was sitting and saying the following din in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that you're allowed to put the blanket on the donkey on Shabbos. Amale, so Rabbi Zeira tells him, Yishar, gut gesagt, well said, v'chein tirgma au yoich bebogel. And au yoich said the same thing in Babel. Now, who is Aryeich? The question is, Aryeich Manu Shmuel. Now, the question is, Aryeich is a nickname for Shmuel. How does Aryeich come to be a nickname for Shmuel? So there's a number of different possibilities. Rashi says that the word Aryeich is related to the word, related to the word Richa or Recha, which means a king. So therefore, Aryeich means someone who's like a king, and the point is Shmuel is called that because he was an expert in particular in dinei mamonos. He was like a judge. He sat in dinei Torah, and therefore he's like a king that rules the land. So therefore he's called Aryeich. Tosfos mentions over here, the Tosfos here gives a different explanation, that there's one of the four kings in Parashat Lech Lecha who attacks Dome is called Aryeich Melech Eloser, Aryeich the king of Eloser. And therefore, the word Aryeich actually includes in it the word Ari, a lion, and therefore they use it as a nickname. Therefore, they use it as a nickname for Shmuel, because like he's a lion and powerful in Torah. Rashi himself elsewhere explains also that the point is that the word Tosfos actually elsewhere mentions that a different reason that the word El Osir. The El Osso, which is the name of the country that this Aryeich and the Torah ruled over, is also can be broken down into Al Osar, not Isurim, which is a hint to the idea that we say that in Dine Isur Veheter, usually the halacha is like Rav and not like Shmuel. So in other words, like, so to speak, Shmuel is the king and is the ruler everywhere else other than in Isurim. And then there's also there's an explanation I saw also that Aryeich was actually a name for the king of for the king of Babel and Persia at the time, and therefore sort of like we have in some places in the Gemara it's called Shmuel by the name Shavu Malka, who was the next king. So the same way in some places he wants to say that Shmuel was called Aryeich based on the current king. Anyway, the point is Aryeich is a nickname for Shmuel. So why is Rabbi Zeira saying that only Shmuel said this? Well, Rav Nami Amra, didn't Rav also say that you're allowed to put the blanket on? Rav says you can even put on the feed bag, so for sure he would allow you to put on the blanket. In fact, that was Rav Chiya Bar Abba's point before, that Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, that if Rav even allows you to put on the feed bag, for sure he allows you to put on the blanket. So why is Rav Zeira telling Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes that only Aryeich, which is Shmuel, said this, as if Rav did not? The answer is not. Ella, the reason why he mentioned specifically Shmuel, Shame, because Rabbi Zeira heard Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes to have a Messiah day, that he was continuing the statement of Rabbi Yochanan and saying the Ein Tolen Tras for the Shabbos, that you're not allowed to put on a feed bag onto the animal on Shabbos. So that's Omer Yishav Chen Tirgim Aryeich Bavol. So on that, he tells him Yeshikoya and Aryeich, which is Shmuel, explained it that way in Bavol. Because that part wouldn't work according to Rav. According to Rav, you are allowed to put on the traps on Shabbos. So therefore, so Rav Zeira is informing him that you should know that Shmuel holds the same way as Rav Yochanan. And that's what Tosfos says. That's why the halacha in this case is like Shmuel against the usual rule. But the halacha is not like Shmuel in Issa V'Heter, because not just Shmuel, it's Rav Yochanan also. So not only it's two against one, but anyway, we have a usual rule that when you have a machlokas Rav and Rav Yochanan, usually the halacha is like Rav Yochanan. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Dekulei alma mias maudas mutter. Okay, the bottom line is we have established that everybody does allow you to put the blanket on the animal on Shabbos. So the question still is, my shnomi ukuf. So why is it different than a? So why is it different than the saddle, which was saying that which was saying the Braisa had said before that you can't put on a saddle on Shabbos. Now, okay, Rav is entitled to argue with that Braisa, but Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are not. So why according to them, why is there a distinction? The reason is okay, shiny halsim, the efshin enough of mela. Because in the case of the saddle, as we said before, you don't have to take the saddle off. You're able to just make it fall off by itself. So when we said before that you're not allowed to take the saddle off, the reason is because since you are able to take it off by just allowing the animal to walk around and it'll fall off, therefore the Chachamim don't want you to do that kircha yaseira of taking it off. When you have something where the only way of doing it is actively, then fine, the Chachamim might allow it. But when it's something that you could just have done passively, so then the Chachamim are not going to allow you to do it actively. So in fact, it could even be when we said before that Rav would disagree with the Braisa. Actually, he might not. He would say you're allowed to put a traskel on, but that's because there's no way to get a traskel on there without doing something active, tying it on. And he says even you're doing it for the enjoyment of the animal would be mutter. As opposed to he might agree actually that in the case of the saddle, where yes you want to take it off in order to keep the animal from getting overheated, but instead of taking it off with your hands, you could just as well accomplish the same thing by having the animal walk around and it'll fall off. Then Rav would agree that that's how you should do it. So that's the first answer. That's the difference would be therefore. So therefore, what we'd say so far is that you're not allowed to take off the saddle. According to Rav, you would be allowed to put on a feed bag, and according to Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, not. And putting on a blanket, everybody would agree as much. Rapapa says a different explanation. There's a reason why to distinguish between putting on the blanket and taking off the saddle. Kam l'chamma, kam l'sanana. Because in the case of the blanket, you're doing it in order to warm up the animal. And when it comes to taking off the saddle, you're doing it in order to cool off the animal. So now, l'chamma is l'tzaira. When it comes to warming up the animal has a lot of sour if you don't do it, because it gets cold very easily. L'sanana, l'sanana. But this, that the animal is overheated because it's also wearing the saddle, that it doesn't have such sour from because it'll get cold on its own very soon. Behind the Amri Inchi, as the expression that people say, Chamora, the Tkufas Tamuz, clearly, a donkey feels cold even in Tkufas Tamuz. So even during the height of the summer, a donkey still feels cold, and therefore it gets and it gets cold very quickly. Therefore,
taking off the saddle if it's strings or ropes are undone, are you walking back in the chutz so that it should fall off? Is it such a big ticher to lift it up and put it on the floor? You don't have to lean on the animal to take it off.
That's true, but nevertheless, though, I mean it. It could, I suppose it could be that, I guess we have to say that obviously the straps are undone because otherwise if it walks around.
Right, it wouldn't fall off.
Right. But even so, still, the Chachamim don't want you to do extra tircha on Shabbos that you didn't have to do. Once the straps are undone, given that it's possible to take it off versus it's possible for it to fall off on its own, then the Chachamim don't want you to do that. So again, according to the first answer is because it's going to fall, because you can make it fall off anyway, and therefore better you should do that. The Papa's answer is taking a different tack, is that you don't, that the Chachamim aren't going to allow you to do it because, not because it can fall off on its own, but because anyway, having a saddle on the animal doesn't bother it that much that it should be allowed to take it off. According to the Papa's answer, you're only allowed to do things for the animal when it's having tsar. But not when it's not having sire. In other words, therefore, Tosfos says, therefore, that it would mean like this, going back to the matter of the trascal of the feedback on the animal, then that would work. So the proper answer works with what Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are saying, that you're not allowed to do that because, again, according to the Papa, the only thing you can do is where the animal is having tsar, and the Papa doesn't even consider having a saddle on to be tsar for the animal. For sure he would say like Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, that you can't put a feed bag on either. On the other hand, Rav, who allowed you to put a feed bag on, he might well allow you to take off the saddle. So in other words, the Papa's answer would be, the Papa's answer about why the Braita is distinguishing them would, after all, not work according to Rav. But fine, as we said before, Rav is a Tana, and he's able to argue with a Braita. Okay. So the point is, a donkey gets cold even in Tzukas Tammuz, therefore you have a special hatcher to put the blanket on it. As far as other animals, by the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch, other animals don't get cold as easily, so therefore you don't necessarily have a hatcher to put a blanket on the animal, unless it says in Shulchan Aruch, if it's really cold, and other kinds of animals are suffering from the cold also, then you'd be allowed to do that also. This that we're saying, by the way, that a donkey is cold even in Tzukas Tammuz is brought in a number of places in Chassidus, but therefore a donkey is a metaphor for somebody who, even in Tzukas Tammuz, even when the heat of the sun, and the sun is a metaphor for Elikus, Kishemesh Amogin Avaya Elikim, even in Tzukas Tammuz, when that shines most strongly, when you see most clearly how Hashem runs the world, and you see Elikus in the world, unfortunately, you have the donkeys out there that still feel cold and insensitive towards it. As it says in Hayyim, between that kind of coldness and Kfira and denying Elikus, there's only a thin wall, so you have to work to undo that. We have the explanation on the Haggadah that I've explained why it is that Makkah Dam was the first Makkah in Mitzrayim, is because the first thing Hashem needs to do is to get rid of the coldness that Mitzrayim have towards Inyanim of Kedusha. They're like water, which is cold, and they need to be turned into the warmth and vitality of blood, and therefore the first Makkah was to turn their water into blood, and then the other one was the other way around. They also had too much heat and excitement about things of Tumah, about things of Klippa, and therefore the next Makkah was cold-blooded frogs. But the first things first was to get rid of that inappropriate coldness of those towards Kedusha, and that was Makkah's Dam. So we're saying the same thing over here about the donkey that feels cold even in Tzukas Tammuz.
How do you know donkey feels cold?
I don't know. I never took a donkey's temperature, but I guess in those days when they had donkeys around more commonly, they could tell that the animal that it shivers more easily than other animals or whatever. I don't know. Maybe its hair stands on end because of the cold more easily. I don't know. Whatever it is, somehow they had a way of knowing that donkeys get cold very easily. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, let's revisit this matter about the traskel, about we said Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are saying that you're not allowed to put a traskel on an animal on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Maisi, I have a contradiction from a Braisa. Braisa says, Lo yeta sus is nav shul. A horse is not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing a fox's tail, which you'd hang between the horse's eyes in order to save it from ayin hara. So that kind of thing. And that kind of thing is not allowed. Now, we learned yesterday in Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos whether an animal is allowed to wear things that are just decorative. We said Rashi says yes, Tosfos says no. Rashi would explain over here that the reason why it's also over here is because it's not something that the animal regularly wears. Therefore, it would be also, but maybe also because not really considered a decoration for the animal, because not really, you're not doing it for the sake of decoration, you're doing it for the sake of ayin hara, so that wouldn't be allowed. and also not with a red ribbon that you put between its eyes in order to for decoration. Same thing, according to Rashi, even though it's an ornament for the animal, it's not something that it regularly wears, and therefore it would be also, according to Tosfos, there's nothing to talk about, because anyway, anything that doesn't have a functional use is also on Shabbos. And the Braisa continues, L'yetze ha-zov b'kis shaloi. A zov is not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing his pouch, which he has around his aver in order to keep the ziva from getting his clothes dirty. We had a long discussion about it in the first parak, where we're talking about, is it that he's wearing it in order to keep his clothes from getting dirty? Is he wearing it for the purpose of collecting the ziva so that he can see how many times a zov he was? And if he's wearing it in order to protect his clothing, would such a thing be allowed or not? If you look before, you're not allowed to wear something that's there only to protect your clothing. We ended up saying that Reb Shimon would allow it but he would say it's not, at least it's not chayev chatos, because Reb Shimon would say that it's only also derabanan because it's because malacha shen is tzricha legufa. As opposed to the Yehuda, would say that it's also daraisa. Either way, though, the point is it's also. And the Braisa continues, Veloit is in the kitchen. Goats, female goats, are not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a pouch around their udders, which, again, we learned in the Mishnah that there were different ways that it could, and where we said that the Tanakhama actually allowed them, and even Rabbi Yehuda allowed one of them, so we'll revisit that point on Amud Beis. Also, a cow is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a muzzle on its mouth, the kind of muzzles like you had Avraham Avinu, for example, we know, put on his cattle to keep them from grazing in other people's fields. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to have it go out like that on Shabbos. That would be considered that the animal is carrying it. One thing is because you don't need it, because there's other ways of controlling the animal and keeping it from grazing in other people's fields, or because another way of looking at it is only things that are needed in order to protect the animal itself and keep it from running away are mutter, but not things like this that are meant to keep it from damaging something else. Okay, whatever it is, you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. And here's the key thing. The lois yochim betraskelim shabatiyam l'shosadabim. Ponies, young horses, or young donkeys, are not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a traskel to l'shosadabim, with a traskel. The lois behem of a sandal shabaragleha. Also, an animal is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with sandals or shoes on its feet. And there the reason is because they may fall off, and you're going to carry them in Rosh Hashanah. So horseshoes, like we have, like horseshoes, like they developed in later times, and we have nowadays, those are mutter because those are nailed onto the animal's feet, and they're not falling off. But here we're talking about where it's put onto the animal's foot and not nailed on, where then it may fall off, and you're going to carry it.
So we're not worried about Tarvel Chaim over here. We say that he's just not allowed to go with the shoe on him.
An animal walking around with shoes is not necessarily going to get its feet injured. I mean, the reason why they developed the concept of horseshoes, and they didn't even have them in the times of the Gemara, is more because when you're using an animal for war, where you're using it a lot for carrying packages or people or whatever, then its hooves wear out. But on Shabbos, you're not doing any of the above. It's not carrying anything. You're not using it in warfare. So there's no particular reason that you need the shoes. So the shoes, fine. They do help in order that it doesn't bang its feet against rocks or whatever. But still, the problem. So in and of itself, it would be mutter. Rabbeinu Prachi actually says that not. He says that even that would be considered a masi, because obviously an animal doesn't need that. You know, you look at it, a wild animal doesn't need such things, for example. But still, according to Rashi, it's not that. The point is that according to Rashi, the idea would be that it may fall off and you're going to carry it. Okay. Veloiba kameya, also the Braisa continues, an animal is not allowed to wear kameya on Shabbos. A kameya is an amulet, which is a pouch made out of leather or something, where inside it, we're going to discuss later on in the next paragraph, we're going to talk about different kinds of kameyas. You have the usual kind of kameya that we're familiar with from various stories and whatever, has names of Hashem and names of Malachim and whatnot in it. Famously, you have kameyas that came up in one of the great machlokes in Jewish history between Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yonatan Eibershitz, where there were kameyas that Rabbi Yonatan had written, which Rabbi Yaakov suspected of containing references to Shabbat Tzvi, and it developed into a whole famous and very sad machlokas But anyway, the concept of Kameis is a very old one in Jewish life that said that a person of a person who knows Kabbalah, a person who knows names of appropriate names of Hashem and Malachim and whatever, writes out a Kameah. Later on, the Gemara is going to also talk about, you have a concept of a Kameah, which is you put various herbs in it. Either way, the point is it doesn't work naturally. It works as a Segula. But, so we're saying over here that an animal is not allowed to wear that on Shabbos. Afal Pishu Mumcha, even if the Kameah is already an expert one, meaning that it's already worked three times, the animal is still not allowed to wear it on Shabbos, as we'll discuss on Amud Beis. The Adam, this is a chumra in an animal over a person, because a person is allowed to wear a kameya when it's mumcha, as we're going to learn in the next paragraph. Okay. Avo yotzehu, but the braisa continues, an animal is allowed to go out on Shabbos, the eged shagabi amaka, with a plaster or a dressing on a wound. That's not something where it's necessary for the animal, and it's not something that if it falls off, you're going to carry it, because it's not something that's not worth very much. An animal is also allowed to go out on Shabbos with splints on a broken bone. So you have the animal broke a bone, broke an arm or a leg or whatever. So they do this with people also. You take two pieces of wood and put them on either side of the break and tie them tightly in place in order to keep the ends of the bone together. It's allowed to go out with that on Shabbos, again, because these pieces of wood are not worth, these splints are not worth very much, you're not going to carry them. Also, they're tied on very tightly. An animal is also allowed to go out on Shabbos with a placenta or an amniotic sac that's halfway sticking out of it. So you have the animal has started giving birth, it hasn't finished, or the other way around, it could also be it gave birth, and now it still has the amniotic sac and the placenta are still inside and haven't finished coming out. It's allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. And in fact, why? Because if it falls off, you're not going to carry it in Trisha Rabin. And Adarabi, you want to get rid of it as fast as possible. The animal is going to be a lot better off without it. So that's allowed. And the Braiser says, another thing you're allowed to do on Shabbos, before Shabbos, what you can do is if the animal has a bell around its neck, you're allowed to stuff something into the bell to keep it from clanging, and leave the bell around its neck. And then it's allowed to walk around with it in the chaser. So you can't walk around with it in Rosh Hashanah, because later on the Gemara is going to say the problem with an animal wearing a bell in Rosh Hashanah, according to Rashi, that you're allowed to wear decorative things, is because it looks like you're taking the animal to sell. Because usually you do that. When you're taking an animal to sell, you try to kind of dress it up and make it look nice and attract people's attention. And one way of doing that is by putting a bell around the animal's neck. So the Braita is saying that you can't have it walk around with a bell in Rosh Hashanah, even if the bell is stuffed. But in the chaser, it would be allowed. Tosfos learns that an animal is not allowed to wear things that are just decorative. They explain later on that we're talking about a bell that's actually attached tightly to its collar. So once it's allowed to wear the collar, then the bell comes along with it. But you're right, Tosfos says if it was a separate bell, then it wouldn't be allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Anyway, that's thus far the Braisa. For now, Katoni Mias Veloyochin the Traskulin Shabapiam Lo Shosarabim. Anyway, the point is we said that young horses or young junkies are not allowed to go out on Shabbos with Traskulin in their mouth to Rosh Hashanah, implying only Lo Shosarabim who deloy. Only to Rosh Hashanah are they not allowed to, Habachoser Shafu Domi, implying if they're staying in the Choser, it would be perfectly fine. And Tosfos points out, how does that prove anything about tying it on Shabbos? Maybe it only means it was on there on Erev Shabbos, but the fact that the Braisa repeats the words Rosh Hashanah specifically in connection with the Traskulin, unlike all the other things, most of the other things we were talking about apply in Rosh Hashanah. So it means that it's only not allowed to go out with it in Rosh Hashanah, but it sounds like it would mean you'd be allowed to tie it on, you'd be allowed to, for it to go with a traskel in the courtyard, even if you tied it on Shabbos. So, my law big doling. Now, within young horses and donkeys themselves, we can distinguish between larger ones. So So shouldn't we assume that braisa means that it applies whether they're small or whether they're young or whether they're a little bit older, where the older ones have longer necks and they're able to actually reach the ground, or mishum tainug, and therefore we see that you're allowed to put on the tassel even where it's only for tainug. They don't need it in order to eat because they can bend down to the ground and eat, and nevertheless we're allowing it. So what is Shmuel and Rav Yehoshua going to do with that? The answer is Lois. That's not what the braisa means. The canon. It means specifically very young. It means specifically very young ponies, very young baby horses and donkeys. Almost from tsar. There is an actual matter of tsar because they have long legs and short necks, and they probably can't reach the ground to eat, or at least not without a tremendous amount of difficulty. And therefore, you put a trap on them. So fine, Shmuel and Rav Yehoshua would allow that where it's necessary to keep the animal from tsar, but not where the animal is fairly easily able to reach the ground. And it's only a matter of time, we cannot have to do that, then Shmuel and Rav Yehoshua would say that's not what the braisa is talking about. Okay. In fact, the Gemara says, Deka Nami. Yeah, we can actually prove that from the wording of the braisa. Dikatani Dumya Dikameya. Because the braisa mentioned this whole long list of things, and one of the things in the list was a kameya. Now, why would you put a kameya on an animal is when the animal is sick, and you want to make a segula, that it should get better. So therefore, so we see that it's a matter of tsar. Shmamina, so that shows that also in the case of the transgoin, it's allowed because of tsar. Okay. So that's that. So no contradiction from this braisa on Shmuel and Rav Yehoshua, because they would in fact agree that with a very young baby donkey, you are in fact allowed to put a trust on it, because then it's a matter of tsar. Only if it's a little bit of an older baby, where they're able to reach the ground itself, then not. Okay. Now let's analyze the rest of that braisa. We said Omar Veloi Kamei Afishu Mumcha. We said that an animal is not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing kameya, even if it's an expert one, meaning even if already this kameya has helped three times. So I ask, what do you mean? Anantanan, we learn in the Mishnah in the next parak, the loyd kameya she'enim mumcha, that a person is not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing a kameya which has not been validated, where you don't know for sure that it works, implying ha mumcha shaper dummy. So if it's a mumcha, then it would be allowed. So why is an animal different? Now, of course, the braisa had used the expression zu choymu bebehema b'adam, but at this point, the Gemara doesn't know yet that statement refers to a kameya. It could be referring to some other things that the Mishnah mentioned. This that we said, for example, that the animal is not allowed to wear sandals or shoes on Shabbos. Maybe it applies to that. So why should a kameya for an animal be different than a kameya for a person? Okay, the Gemara says, okay, hochanami she'enim mumcha. Fine, you could say over here also that the braisa is talking about a kameya that hasn't yet been validated three times. And I said, what do you mean? The braisa clearly used the expression that even though it's mumcha, even though it's been shown three times to work, nevertheless, you're still an animal is still not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. So what do you mean? You're gonna say that's like a person that if it is mumcha it's allowed. The answer is mumcha la adamain and mumcha la behema. The answer is we can be talking about the kind of kameya. It's already been shown to work three times for a person, but not it hasn't yet been shown to work for an animal. So in other words, in order for an animal to wear it, it would have to be mumcha three times that it works for an animal. So the question is, what do you mean? How do you have such a thing? If it works for a person, why shouldn't it work for an animal? Now, the obvious question is, why should we think that there should be any similarity? But first of all, the Ritzvah explains, because we're not talking about necessarily that the Kaneya itself has been shown to work three times. Fine, that you could say. Maybe it only works with people. Maybe it doesn't work with animals. But we're talking about that the person who wrote the kameya has already written many different kameyas that have been shown to work. So now if he writes one for an animal, then also he already has a chazaka that is known to work. Therefore, the Gemara is assuming that at that point it should work, it should be considered mumcha for an animal as well. An animal is stronger than a person. Therefore, if you have something, if you have a Kamea which works even for a person who is weaker, then on the face of it, for sure, it should, on the face of it, it should work, on the face of it, it should work for a Behema, which is that, which is stronger. So that's the question. So why would it be mumcha for a person and not mumcha for an animal? The answer is A. Yes, as a matter of fact, because Adam de Islay Mazla, because a person who has a mazel, which means a mazel, which means Rashi says a malach who looks out for him in Shemayim and then defends him in Shemayim. In Chassidus, we talk about the idea that the mazel is the higher source of the person's neshama. Yeah, the person's a person, a yid anyway, has a nefesh elikis that has a source in Shemayim. And that has part of it remains in Shemayim and helps him down here on earth. And then you have the part that's slavish in his body, as opposed to an animal or a goy doesn't have that because they only have a nefesh of Bahamas. So a person has a mazel, Messiah, so therefore Kamea can help him. Behemoth, the less mazel, the Messiah, as opposed to an animal, doesn't have that kind of mazel according to any of these definitions. It doesn't have a malach specifically looking out for it in Shemayim. Even we say, the Baal Shem Tov tells us that everything in the world has a shkocha pratis on it, even a leaf falling off a tree. Fine, but even so, though, it doesn't have Hashem himself looks after exactly what's going to happen with the animal at any given time. But there's no particular mazel that you can say the behemoth has. So therefore, Loi Messiah, also therefore the Kamea doesn't necessarily help it as much, and therefore actually you could say the other way around, that a Kamea, as we said, that a Kamea that helps the person is not necessarily a given that it's going to help, it's not necessarily a given that it's going to help an animal. So that might be a reason to say that an animal can't wear a Kamea, whereas a person could.
Couldn't you infer from a Kamea that it's a way of forming a nest? I mean, maybe it's not Avodah Zarah, but it's still, in a certain way, just like making a nest, and it should be, for that reason, prohibited.
Okay, so, think of it like this. And when you take a medicine, doctors can tell you what exactly the medicine does in the body, but what is it that really makes the medicine work is also Hashem. So okay, a Kamea, the only difference is that you don't have, you don't have an obvious cause and effect. You don't have, you can't point to and say that this Kamea has this and this and this effect in the body, and therefore it helps. But it works. The fact that it works later on, at the end of the next parak, we're going to learn in a couple of weeks, Beis Hashem. The Gemara lays down a rule over there that anything that's being done for refuah, there's no problem of darkei hamori. There's no problem of the Torah tells us you're not allowed to follow superstitious practices like the Amorim did. But the Gemara says over there that anything that's done for refuah, that doesn't apply. So one idea, one way you could look at it is just that medicines themselves, I mean, in the olden days, they didn't know how any medicines worked, and it was just that they worked. Nowadays, some of them they know, but still, ultimately, we depend on Hashem to make them work, so therefore, Kamea is no different. You're not saying the Kamea itself works. Ultimately, you're saying that it should bring down Hashem's bracha on the person or on the animal.
So even exorcism, some do it in the name of refuah?
Exorcisms, I don't know about, but we'll get, let's leave that topic for Daf Samach Zayin. That's the Shem. Daf Samach Zayin, we're going to have a whole discussion about Daf Samach Zayin. We'll take that point up then. So there might actually be a difference. You might say that even a Kamea that's been known many times to help people, or that was written by somebody who all of his Kameas are known to work, nevertheless, not necessarily would that mean that it helps for an animal. So the question is, if so, then what does the Braita mean when it adds the word, this is a chumra in an animal over a person? What is that adding, in other words? If you're saying so far that the only kind of kamea that an animal can wear on Shabbos is the kind that's already been proven to work for animals, well, the same thing is true of people. That a kamea that is known to work for people, a person is allowed to wear on Shabbos. If you said that the Braita is saying an animal can't go out with any kamea, then fine. But now that you seem to be explaining, that's fine. An animal doesn't have mazel, a person does. Therefore, you have to have the kamea written specially for the animal and known or ready to work for an animal. And the braisa would be implying if that's mutter, then what do you mean? Then what's the chumrah in an animal over a person? In both cases, you need a kamea that's known to work for that species. The answer is mi sabrat kamea koi. You think that this statement is referring to the kamea? No, a sandal koi. It's referring to the thing about a sandal. People are allowed to wear shoes and sandals outside on Shabbos because they don't usually fall off, and if they do, you'll notice it right away and put them back on. As opposed to with an animal, it's not like that. It may fall off and you're going to carry it. So nothing to do with a kamea. In fact, the halacha would be that an animal would be allowed to wear a kamea that if it's known to work for animals, if it's been tested three times and then found to work for animals. Okay. So the point is, so that's that. Okay. Now, that was a side point. We're still in the middle of discussing the question of what kind of things you're allowed to do for an animal to prevent tsar. We said before, we discussed about the matter of the blanket that you put on the donkey. And we said that Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan all allow it with the donkey because it's a matter of tsar. But we said Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan didn't allow things that are only for tainug. So Toshma, a braisa says, sochin umfaukus in la'adam, on Shabbos, you're allowed to smear oil on a person's wound, or you're allowed to rub it in order to rub the scabble, la'adam, for a person, the ein sochin umfaukus in la'behema, but you're not allowed to do that for an animal on Shabbos, because again, tilchi yaseira, my lav the ikamata. Now, the pashtus we're talking about when there's an actual wound there that still needs to be healed, and therefore you want to put oil on it, or you want to rub it in order to get off the scab, or mishum tsar, and we see that even for a matter of tsar, you're not allowed to do it. So what are you telling me that you're allowed to put the blanket on because of tsar? It's just life, not necessarily. We could be talking about that the wound is almost healed, or mishum tainog, and you're just putting the oil on it, or you're just putting the oil on it, or you're rubbing it for tainog. But in fact, if it was necessary for the tsar of the animal, then you would, in fact, be allowed to do it on Shabbos. Again, Rav, who said that you're allowed to do things with some tainuk, he allowed you to put a feed bag on. He would say that he disagrees with this braisa. Again, he being a tana is able to do that, and he would say that nevertheless, that it would be mutter even with some tainuk. Okay. Toshma, the hema sha'och yadam, another braisa says, an animal that was seized by blood, literally seized by blood. Rashi explains means that it has more blood. So Rashi translates it with a French word that essentially means that it has too much blood, basically high blood pressure or something. So if an animal has that condition, you're not allowed to have the animal stand in water in order for it to cool off. On the other hand, if a person has that condition on Shabbos, now we're not talking about where his life is in danger, because then there's no chiddush. Of course, you can do anything. We're talking about where he's just having tsar. So I'm in an oath of my mind, Mishra Shid Tan, and you are allowed to put him into have him stand in water in order to help him cool off. So maybe, I don't know if we're talking about high blood pressure. I don't know. Avraham Moshe, you're the doctor over here. Maybe you can tell us what kind of condition would all of a sudden cause the person to feel so hot as a result of his blood. But whatever it is, the point is that it's some kind of condition where if it happens to an animal, you can't put it in water. And if it happens to a person, they are allowed to go into water. Now,
I would say maybe high fever.
Could be, although I don't think that would be called Och Zedam. I mean, that would be called Padachas or something. I don't know. All right, whatever it is. Yeah, all right, like whatever it is. Anyway, the point is, now there it's a matter of tsar, and you're still not allowing it. The answer is, Oma Ula, Gzeira Mishum Shchita Sammanin. The reason why it would be Osir is because the Chachamim in general don't allow you to do things on Shabbos that involve healing because you may come to grind up herbs and spices for that purpose to make medicines. In those days, you know, you didn't buy medicines from the pharmacy in ready-made pill form. You had to grind up the ingredients yourself. And the Chachamim are concerned that you may do that. You may do that on Shabbos. So when it comes to things where maximum you're going to have an Issur Dirabanan, then the Chachamim will allow it on Shabbos. But things where you could conceivably end up coming to an Issur D'oraisa, like in this case, where you could come to start grinding up spices, which would be also daraisa, then no. Then we're not going to allow you to do it for behema. Okay, so now the Ritva acts in that case, and the whole thing we were discussing before about why you shouldn't be, why whether you should or shouldn't be allowed to put it to put on the blanket. So some of the reasons we gave, tucha yaseira, or because you might lean on the animal, fine, those only dirabanan. But we said that another reason might be because you might because it might go out with it into Rishus HaRabim. So how does that fit over here? That would be an issur daraisa. So he says a couple of answers. One of them being that if it's not tied on, it's not very likely you're going to let the animal go out into Rishus HaRabim because you don't want it to just fall off someplace in the street. And also because it still wouldn't be an issur daraisa, maybe even on a daraisa level, it would be considered clothing for the animal even if it's not tied on. And also because here we're saying you, the person, might grind the spices as opposed to over there the animal is walking around with the marda. Okay. Anyway, so that would be the reason why you can't put the animal in water, because that's something that you do for refuah, and refuah you're not allowed to do on Shabbos Midrabbanan. So the question is, Yehochi Adam Nami. In that case, the same thing should apply to a person as well. Again, we said we're not talking about where the person's life is in danger. Then for sure, Pekuach Nefesh is very Chashabbos for everything. But if it's only because it's Tsar, why are we allowing this for a person? A person is not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos either. The answer is Adam Nira Kineta. The difference is because when the person does it, it just looks like he wants to cool off. We learned in the third paragraph, that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos, except under very restricted conditions. But we said you are allowed to bathe in cold water on Shabbos. Okay, the person just looks like he's hot and he wants to cool off. So it doesn't look like a thing of refuah. Okay, so the question is, Yehochi behema nami near kineker. Then you could say the same thing with an animal. Also, it looks like you're doing it in order to cool off. This is a make of a behemoth. It's not normal to do that, to cool off your animal like that. So when you put it in water, then it shows you're doing it for refuah. Okay, the question is, will a behemoth be gazrinan? Are you telling me that you make a gzera when it comes to taking care of an animal like that, where, after all, this achudas dam, that it got high blood pressure or whatever this condition is exactly, could cause the animal to get very, very sick or even to die? Are you telling me we make a gzera about that you're not allowed to do such things? The whole time, we learn in a brisa, if a person's animal is standing outside the tchum on Shabbos, he's allowed to call to the animal and it'll come. Now, we're not making a gzera that he might go outside the tchum and bring the animal himself. And the reason is the pashtus, because otherwise the animal is going to get lost. So now the Gemara is assuming that what it means is that now usually you have like this: a person has a tchum on Shabbos, things that a person owns also have a tchum. Usually the tchum of the thing is the same as the person himself. But you could have, let's say, as the Gemara is going to now say, you could have where the thing has a different tchum than you do. So therefore, the Gemara is assuming that your tchum and the animal's tchum are exactly the same thing. So the animal walked outside the tchum on Shabbos, and we're still saying that you're allowed to go call it to come inside on Shabbos. So therefore, we see that. So, and we're not making a zera for the same thing. Why should we make a zera that you're not allowed to do healing things for the animal on Shabbos because you might grind up spices for it? Where over here also you could have the same thing that you're going to go outside the tchum or you're going to pick up the animal and bring it, and we're not making such a gzera. The Amar Ravina, so Ravina answers, the answer is, Ravina says, you're not talking about a case where there's a concern that he might go out of his tchum. What it means is, the animal's tchum was part of it overlaps with his tchum. Meaning, you can have a case. Let's say, suppose that you took the animal, and sometime before Shabbos, you gave it to a shepherd to take care of it. Now the din is, the animal's tchum is now the shepherd's tchum, rather than your own. So imagine, for example, that you live in one town, and the shepherd lives in the next town over. the towns, let's say, are far enough apart that their tchumim are not the same. We're going to learn about that concept in Erev in Bez Hashem. So you could have, though, that their tchumim overlap. But now, Ravina's saying, what we mean is that the animal was within your tchum, but outside of its own tchum. So now the animal itself is allowed to even do malachas on Shabbos, because as we said, you know, we said before that you're even allowed to allow an animal to graze on Shabbos from grass that's attached to the ground. So similarly, the animal is able to go outside of its own tchum. So therefore, you're allowed to call it and have it come to you because it's within your tchum, and there's no chash that you're going to go out of your tchum to get it because you're still well inside your own tchum. So in that case then there's nothing to be gozer. There's nothing to be gozer in the first place because he's within his tchum anyway. So you could still say, in other words, that in general the chum do make zeros, but in this case there's no reason to, because there's nothing that he could be doing wrong anyway because he himself is within his tchum. Rav Nachman says a different answer. Shchitas Samamun and Gufa Tanoidi. This point that we're saying about that you may come to grind up spices, actually that for whether the Chachamim are going to allow you to do refuah for an animal because are you not allowed to because you might grind up spices, is that in fact Tanoidi? That's in fact the Machlokes Tanoim, whether we make such a gzeira. Titania, behema sha'ocha kashinim. We learned in a braisa that if an animal ate a lot of kashinim, which is a type of beans that animals usually eat, and now it's feeling sick from it, lo yiritzenem b'chotzer l'shvil shetisrapa, you're not allowed to have the animal run back and forth in the chotzer in order to loosen it up and help it defecate more easily. Rav Oshia, on the side it says it's supposed to be Rav Oshia, says it's mutter. So you see, therefore, that the Rav Yoshia is allowing you, he's saying that you are allowed to do things for healing an animal, even though the Chachamim made a gzeira not for a person. The reason why you're not allowed to for a person is because you may start getting very nervous. This person is very, very sick. I need to do something right away. And you're going to end up grinding spices for him, grinding herbs for him to make medicine for him on Shabbos, which would be also, where it's not sakonis nefashis. As opposed to with an animal, you don't get in such a panic over it, and therefore it's much less likely, according to this opinion, that you're going to go and grind up spices in order to save the animal's life. Dora Shrova, halacha could have Oshia or Rav Yoshia. The halacha is like that. You're allowed to do things for the refuah of an animal on Shabbos. So the bottom line is, we're saying that you are allowed to do things for an animal's tzar. You're also allowed to do things for healing an animal on Shabbos, because in the case of tzar, you're allowed for the sake of the tzar of the animal, and in the case of healing, we're not making a gzera that you may grind up herbs for the person. The Braisa said, Omamaula, Yesa Zov the Kishaloi, we said a Zov is not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing his pouch. Veloy isn't the kishabidadehan. We said goats are not allowed to go, female goats are not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a pouch on their udders. So the question is, Valtanya Yotis isn't the kishabidadehan. We learn in another braisa that goats are allowed to go out with such a pouch. Amrav Yehuda, loy kasha hod mehada kod lo mehada. So Rav Yehuda says there's no contradiction. One's talking about where it's tightly attached, and the other one where it's not tightly attached. And if it's not so tightly tied on, then it might fall off and you're going to come to carry it. Rav Yosef says, what do you need that? Tanoi shaklef me'alma. What, have you taken all the tanoim out of the world? You can't find any other tana who says that who would say otherwise. Tanoim. In fact, it's a machlok, it's tanoim. It's not, as we learned in our Mishnah. Ha'izim Yosef Turis, we said in our Mishnah, goats are allowed to go, you're allowed to have goats go out on Shabbat with something tied up onto their udders, and the Tanakhama had not made any distinction what the purpose of it is and how tightly it's tied. Rav Yosi Osa Bakula and Chutzman and Rochelus Ekvodas. Rav Yosi, we said, after everything that we listed in the Mishnah, except for when you have a sheep that you have on a newborn sheep, you do right after it's born, we said, that you tie a cloth around it to keep its wool clean. So that you're allowed to do, says Rav Yosi, but not anything else. Rabbi Yehuda, and the Ezim Yotis Turis, the Yabish, Avaloy Lecholim. But, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to have them go out on Shabbos where it's tied on in for the purpose of drying up the milk. That would be allowed, where you're doing it in order to dry up the milk because you want the animal to be stronger and lactating and producing milk makes it weaker, so that would be allowed. Tzorech gufa, but avaloy lecholiv, but not where you're doing it for the sake of collecting the milk, because then it's carrying the milk on Shabbos. So we see that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi argues, and Rabbi Yossi is saying you're not allowed to. So therefore, so when you have a braisa that says they're not allowed to, that would be according to Rabbi Yossi. When you have a braisa that says it's allowed, that would be according to the Tanakhama. And then you have in the Mishnah, you also have Rabbi Yehuda, who distinguishes between the two different kinds. Now, Tosfos asks the question, if we're saying over here that the purpose of putting it loosely is in order to collect the milk, then obviously you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, and it's going to be carrying around the milk on Shabbos. So therefore, Tosfos learns differently, that it means just to keep the milk from leaking out in the first place. Not that it leaks out and then you have it loosely tied on in order to collect the milk, but rather that you're tying it on tightly enough to keep the milk from leaking out in the first place, versus you're tying it on even tighter to dry up the milk. So therefore, the tight kind, according to the Yehuda, would be allowed. The looser kind, not so much, not because it's going to be carrying the milk, but because it may fall off because it's not tied on so tightly. And according to the JC, both of them would be also, and according to the Tanakhama, both of them would be mutter. So the Pnei Yeshua talks about, Rashi himself previously explained that what we meant is that you're tying it on in order to keep the milk from leaking out, similarly to the way Tosfos said that the problem with doing it loosely is that it might fall off, like Tosfos is saying over here. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that's fine, but now that the Gemara is starting to mention the distinction, now that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned the distinction between whether it's tight and whether it's loose, then therefore now Rashi understands that there's a different reason behind it. That the problem with it being loose is not so much that it might fall off, but because it's collecting the milk inside it. Okay, so the point is that Rabbi Yosef is saying that you don't need to say that these two braises are all according to one Tana and they're two different cases. You could have them according to different Tanoim. The boy say Mahavah or Rabbi Yehuda. And in fact, another possibility, you could say that both braises go according to the Yehuda, the Tana, well, like Kasha, Kan the Yabish, Kan the Cholas. Again, there's no problem because one's talking about where it's tightly enough to dry up the milk. That would be mutter, again, because you're doing it in order to strengthen the animal, and it's tightly tied on, it's not going to fall off. Versus the other one is for the milk, again, either according to Rashi to collect the milk, according to Tosfos to prevent the milk from leaking out of the udder in the first place, and that the Braisa would be saying, or the Yehuda would be saying, is usher, like he said in the Mishnah, that's usher, because it's collecting the milk in it, and it's carrying around the milk, or because it's not tied on tightly enough, and it may fall off. Okay. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Omer of Yehuda, Maisa be'izim shall base Antochia. It happened with the goats from the place of Antochia. Shahoyud that they had gotten, they had very large udders. So what the people did over there is they made pouches for the animal's udders. Kadeshalay sew to gadehen in order that their udders don't get scratched up and damaged on the thorns or whatever as they're walking around. So one idea is that Marsha says that one thing is, so if you're doing it for that purpose, in order to protect the animal from getting scratched, then it would be mutter. Okay. Well, we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow about this.
Shkoyach. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you very much. Shkoyach.